Let's just take a couple more minutes to look at the Word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 for a few minutes. You know, it's kind of interesting. When we were in Jordan, I was coming back from visiting at this one gentleman's house, and there was a mentally challenged child that was in the back seat. A friend of his was there with him and wanted to meet me, and he spoke English very well, and his child was mentally challenged. And kept, you know, speaking in Arabic. He tapped on my shoulder, and he said something in Arabic, and one of the men translated, and he said, he wants to know if you love him. And I said, I love you. Yes. You know, one of the most important things in our witness is to love the lost. I'm afraid that many times we don't have a real burden for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And my goodness, when it comes to, and I'll be blunt, when it comes to Arabs, well, they attacked us on 9/11. You know, they're all that way, aren't they? I've heard Christians say things like that. Aren't they all terrorists? No, they're not. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we have a Jonah type of situation today where Jonah didn't want to go to the capital of Assyria. I mean, Assyria was a horrible thing. They'd go in and attack a country, and they would skin people and hang the skins over the city walls. They were vicious and they were cruel. And I think sometimes we're afraid of Arabic people because for the same reason. I want God to judge them. Let me tell you that there are men and women of God out there of Arabic descent in these countries who are more godly than many people I know in the United States. They love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are on fire for Him and are willing to give their lives at a moment's notice for the gospel. I want to talk a little bit for just a couple minutes on reaching different ethnic and cultural groups in our own nation. First of all, we need to learn how ethnic and cultural groups are not going to be reached. We're going to look at Acts chapter 17. I'm just going to skip through the text. We don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to, just a couple of highlights here within that particular text. How other ethnic and cultural groups were not be reached. Now, let me tell you, Ann Arbor's got a lot of them. Canton, just north of us, we have a massive Indo-Pakistani population. Ypsilanti. I mean, we could go all over this area. Dearborn, the largest concentration of Arabs outside of the Middle East. Not the most, but the largest concentration, Dearborn, Detroit area. Amazing. Other ethnic and cultural groups will not be reached using traditional American evangelistic ways. Door knocking. Will you come to my church? A Muslim is going to say, no. Let me ask you a question. Would you go to a mosque? Come to my mosque. No. So they can't be reached the way that we have been reaching people for a long time within fundamentalism. Number two, other ethnic and cultural groups will not be reached by focusing only on information and ignoring relationships. All I got to do is share the gospel with them, and they don't even understand it. They don't understand who God is. Their concept of Allah is bizarre, is strange. He's a God of war. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of hatred. He's not a God of love. So part of it is going to be changing their view of who God is and then showing them Christ in you. Other ethnic and cultural groups will not be reached by hoping someone else will do it. Well, I hope someone else reaches them. I'm really burdened for Muslims here in this community. I hope someone will reach them someday. It's not how they're going to be reached. And you know what's interesting? Those people in the Middle East, it's against the law to convert a Muslim. They still do it. It's not yet against the law for us to do it. Not yet. And sometimes I'm afraid we neglect it. Let's look in verse 16, Acts chapter 17, just for a minute. We're just going to skip through this passage. Notice verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols.
And we have here Paul on Mars Hill addressing the Areopagus here. But very, very interesting. Notice that the Bible says that he was provoked. He was provoked. Maybe better translated, his spirit was aroused in him. Maybe by anger or grief or maybe just a desire to see them come to know the Lord. Paul apparently did not want to begin a mission in Athens till Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. But notice, Paul couldn't help himself. He was provoked. Just north of us in Canton, there's a Hindu temple. There's a mosque too, a big one. There's a Muslim school as well. Let me ask you a question. Does idolatry in this area provoke you? Muslims, Hindus, Roman Catholics, they're all over. Reaching folks for Christ cross-culturally will first involve you and I caring for them and loving them. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. This is from a different translation. Listen, sometimes I think I will make no mention of this message. I will not speak as his messenger anymore, but then his message becomes like a fire locked up inside of me, burning in my heart and soul. I grow weary of trying to hold it, and I cannot contain it. That's how we need to be. One author writes from a book called The World at Your Door, a Middle Eastern student asked to share about the years he had spent as a student in America, said, I have been in America for 4 years, and these have been the most lonely years of my life. When I walk down a hallway and an American says, with a smile, hi, how are you doing? I stop and try to tell how I am doing. Instead, they just keep on walking, don't really care about my answer. Do we care? Notice, number two, Paul went to where people were. Notice verse 17. Verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Now, I'm not saying we need to go into bars and things of that sort. That isn't what I'm saying. My point here is that we have traditionally asked people to come to church. And that works with some people. That works with the people who are like us. But what about those people who are like Muslims, for instance? Is it going to be effective to say, come to? No. It's going to be most effective to go to, as far as they are concerned. And I don't mean, again, go to mosques either. That isn't the point. The point is that we need to meet them where they are in society. Interact with them. Maybe there's people at the restaurant. But we need to care. And we need to present the gospel. Let's notice our third point there. Notice, begin with your personal webs of relationship. This is important, how to go to where people are. Canvas, survey a cultural area. You can even do that as a church. College evangelistic Bible study, small group type of thing where you can do that. Some of that has been done in this area as well with Eastern and other classes. We've tried some English as a second language class. You know, you don't have to have, people don't have to have master's degrees to do this. In fact, there is no qualification in the state of Michigan to teach an ESL class. So there's all kinds of creative ways that we can reach people like this. Number three, Paul used wise and tactful speech. Notice verse 22. Sometimes we don't, do we? Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. He didn't stand up and say, I can't believe you people. How could you be so stupid to believe this? Again, Christian tact, as Daniel used. Number four, Paul understood their culture and he related to it. Notice verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Quotation is from the Greek poet Aratus, who lived from 310 to 245 B.C., and it's from his poem on astronomy. Paul knew their culture. He's also a smart guy. Paul knew their culture, and he related to it. We have a tendency to reject things that are unfamiliar to us and things we don't understand. We need to understand their culture in order to effectively reach them. Understanding their dietary habits, their personal habits, so as not to offend them. It's difficult to present the gospel to people whom you've offended. A man hugging a woman in Arabic culture, that's taboo. Display of affection. Did you know that even the way a man crosses his legs is important in some Arabic cultures? How about bacon and eggs? Trying to win a Muslim or even a Jewish person, probably not a meal you'd want to have. Handing out tracts in your left hand, never do that. That is your toilet hand. Always hand them with the right. Various things like that, and they're very, very important to understand. So Paul understood their culture and he related to it. Now, I'm not saying steep yourself in their false religion. That's dangerous. Don't steep yourself in doctrines of demons. But a basic understanding isn't bad either. Ask your pastor about that. And then number five, Paul confronted them tactfully but boldly. Notice, as we see our last point here, notice verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Paul confronted them tactfully but boldly. Look, it is our goal to build relationships with some of these folks, but we need to make sure that our ultimate goal is not lost in relationship building. Sometimes that's all people do is build relationships. So I've got really good friendly relations with this Muslim couple. Well, what are you going to do now? You know, what's your next plan? Well, I hope to be able to witness to them. Well, are you working towards that end? It's nice to eat with them and have fun and go out bowling, whatever. But what are you doing? What is your goal in all of this? Building relationships is not enough. It's a great start. And I think that's the only way we're going to be able to reach these hard-to-reach individuals is by building relationships, letting them see Christ in us. But it's not the end all. The unsaved must be tactfully but boldly confronted with the gospel. Paul did that. Notice verses 32 to 34. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. You know, there's going to be different reactions to our message, isn't there? Not all are going to trust Christ, but some will. That's why we need to be faithful. Be faithful. God wants us to be good stewards of the ministry that He has given to us in the Detroit area. We look at the Detroit area, and I do, and I'm sure you do. How pitiful. All the jobless, all the people moved out. There's vacant homes all over Belleville. Canton probably is around here too. People just, left their homes. And so we look at this area and we say, it looks like God has forsaken this area. He hasn't. And we say, there's a lot less people to pull from than there used to be. That affects churches. That affects church budgets. That affects church. And pastors think about these things, don't we? But you know what? God's still alive. And this book is still powerful. And let me tell you, there's a lot of ethnic groups in this area that need Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's very few fundamental Baptists reaching those dear people. They are in need. In their heart, they know they need something. But there's no one there to love them. No one there to care. No one that cares enough to share with them the gospel. And I think so often, and I point at my own life, my own ministry, so often I think we have neglected to reach the unreachable. The mission field is here. How exciting. The mission field is here. I don't have to go to the Middle East to reach Arabs. I can stay in Detroit. And we can give to the mission field. We could go in the short term. We can do all kinds of things like that. But how exciting! It's here too. Let's get involved. Let's pray about what God would have us to do. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for for your word and how powerful it is. Thank you for this example the Apostle Paul just spent just a few minutes in it, Lord, but yet so pointed, so many things to learn. I pray, Father, that you would help us to walk with you. Help us to be faithful witnesses of yours. As we consider ministry overseas, help us not to neglect the ministry here. We pray these things in Jesus' name.